You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Well, good morning, Westside. Welcome this morning. Glad you made your way. It's good to be together. It's all about Him, right? It's not about us, it's about Him. And really grateful to be here worshiping, love, connecting, lifting our hands up to God. And a lot of times we do come to worship because we want that experience. You know, we want to desire an experience, a connection with God. There's something inside us that desires that. So I love that song, and I love when our worship just lifts our souls to Him, and it's a good feeling, right? It's definitely a good feeling. But today we're beginning a series. The overall series is entitled Led by the Spirit. We're going to be studying the Holy Spirit. Our annual theme for the Westside Church is being led by the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to dig into a lot of the biblical texts regarding the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to dig into scriptures from the Old Testament. And I've entitled today's sermon Marked by the Spirit. And we're going to go through what the Old Testament says about the Holy Spirit. Now, in the Old Testament, the word spirit is ruach, which really means wind or breath. It was the breath of God we're going to see hovering over the waters in a moment. We're going to read that verse in Genesis. In the New Testament, the word for spirit is pneuma. And there's just a volume of material about the Holy Spirit. We do know, of course, that we worship the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. We understand that God revealed Himself in three persons. And the Holy Spirit, He's here, right? So yeah, it's all about Jesus, all about the Holy Spirit. Where two or more are gathered in Jesus' name, He is with us. He's with us in spirit. His Spirit is here. Amen? So let's go to God again in prayer and just ask the Holy Spirit to fill the room, like that song, Holy Spirit, fill the atmosphere, right? Let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this opportunity to study your word, to gather to worship. And Father, we want to experience you, but we ask for more than just an experience, for change to occur. Father, for our minds to be open, for us to see you, to experience your presence, to experience your power and your purpose. Guide us, Father, as we study the word of God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So a great theme scripture I want to present to you is from 1 Samuel. The Holy Spirit now doesn't come upon all people in the Old Testament. Now in the New Testament, well, we'll be teaching more. CJ is going to have lessons about this. We have the promise of through Christ, He comes down on all people, right? And that's why He can be here. In the Old Testament, though, we find He's often on the leaders and the people that He calls to do great deeds to lead His kingdom. One of them was Saul, who was appointed the first king of Israel. And we read this verse as a theme verse. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will be changed into a different person. And if you study the history of Saul, the first king, he didn't want to really be out front. He was hiding when they told him he was going to become the king. He was hiding. He didn't want that. But when the Holy Spirit was poured out on him, he literally changed. He became one of the prophets for a day. He was speaking the truth. And he was the original leader and was a great leader to start. In time, he drifted from his obedience. And then God raised up a new leader and put His Spirit on him. But see, the Spirit comes upon individuals in the Old Testament, not for emotional experience, but for change, all right? And God wants us all to experience change. The Holy Spirit, He is out in front of us doing amazing things. In the Old Testament, He gives us a little foretaste of what we get to experience in full measure as we live under the new message of Jesus and what He's done for us. Let's begin in Genesis chapter 1, where we read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit, the Ruach of God, was hovering over the waters. He hovers. He moves. He's the agent of creation. He's making a change by creating the whole world. And we read oftentimes in the scriptures about how this ruah, this breath, is the creator. In Psalm 33, it says, "The word of the Lord, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath, by the ruah, by the wind right? By the Spirit of God. He created all things. And so we're going to experience this, and we want to live into this. And I have three main points today about the Spirit living with us and marking us with some unique qualities that we see in the Old Testament on selected individuals, which we're going to look at a few today. But here's the three points I want us to get. To live by the Spirit is to live marked by His presence, His power, and His purpose. To live by the Spirit is to live marked by His presence, His power, and His purpose. So we're going to dig in and look at a few examples and relate them to how the Spirit works in our life even today. And we get, like I said, a foretaste of this in the Old Testament. All right, so we'll start with, you know, we're marked, the Spirit marks us with His presence. And many times we find that's the situation in the Old Testament with individuals. Maybe the most significant or equal with David, we're going to look at David as well, is he marks Moses. He chooses Moses, right? Even though the story of Moses is quite impressive. And he marks him with His presence. His presence is clearly a part of who Moses is and how he's able to lead. Of course, He appeared to him in the fire of the burning bush and sent him on this great mission to lead His people out. But as he's led the people out, God's got to guide him throughout this journey. He's going to be journeying with the Israelites, training them. And we read in Exodus 33, Moses had asked him, hey, don't send me somewhere if you're not with me. I need to go with you. And he says, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. And God says, my presence will be with you, Moses. And we learn about the history of the Israelites, how in the evening he went as a pillar of fire with them. And in the daytime, a pillar of cloud, a cloud pillar with them to signify the presence of God. And of course, Moses himself wanted to meet with God to learn how to administer his messaging to this 2 million people that had escaped from Egypt. And we read in Exodus 33 verse 11, it says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. And then later on in chapter 34, as he was speaking to all the Israelites, passing along the message of the Ten Commandments and the things he was told by God, it says he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord, right? God's presence made him radiant. Okay, husbands, you know, the scriptures teach that when we're with our wives, our presence should make them radiant, right? They should come glowing. If, you know, I was talking to Everett and Nicole, who are getting married in less than a month. And, you know, when they're around each other, they're kind of glowing, right? They're just about to get married. You see the excitement, the joy when you have that kind of spirit. When the relationship is deep and there's blessings flowing, there's a radiance about you. And Moses had that because he was in the presence of God. Well, we go on and we look at David. We read as he's anointed, it says, so Samuel took the horn of oil and appointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Now, the presence of God made him able to lead the nation. But as well, what is one of the greatest gifts that we have in our Bibles and as we study the scriptures from David? He wrote most of the Psalms, right? The songs. He was a man who loved to connect with God emotionally through song. And then as he spent time with God, God opened up his mind and gave him prophecies. He had prophecies talking about the Messiah. The Psalms are just rich in incredible emotional connection, but also biblical insight. And when David had sinned, the one thing, what he was concerned about in Psalm 51, he says, do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. The Holy Spirit is God's presence with us. And David loved that presence. It made a lot of difference, not only in his life, but we get to hear the relationship with David and God through his awesome Psalms, through the stories that we read. I love the one in Psalm 63. It says, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. You see, many people today chase blessings. We chase blessings in our life, but the ultimate blessing is simply the presence of God. To know God and enjoy Him for eternity is the ultimate purpose of mankind. And His Spirit, which is giving us a little taste of that through David, through Moses, through many others, through Saul, who he changed. Later, Saul distanced himself. And we're going to look more at how it comes down on different people in different ways. But God's blessings are really the presence that he is in each of our lives. That's the ultimate thing that I think you want to enjoy. And when you're in God's presence, he will reveal things to you, right? He'll open your mind and you'll start to see things. You'll start to experience things. I know for me, one of the things I love the most, and again, I'm going to put a little plug in for the Jubilee, is I love amazing spiritual conferences. Why? Because when I'm at these spiritual conferences, what I'm doing is I'm worshiping extended times. I'm hanging out with people I really love who also love God. We're two or more together. The schedule is normally laid out. So for me, like I like the schedule's nicely laid out. I'm going to classes. I'm hanging out with friends. I'm worshiping. I mean, it's all about God at these spiritual conferences, right? There's an opportunity to be in God's presence. And when you're in his presence begins to reveal things to you. Certainly in our prayer lives and our times with him, I hope he's giving you insights into your life. I do remember one conference back in 2018. It was a world conference in Panama, and I'd never been to Panama. I went out there, it was a world leadership conference, and I was enjoying the worship, enjoying the conversations, and I ran into the minister of the West Side at that time, Mr. Ken Chow. And Ken pulled me aside and he goes, we're talking about our ministries. And he said, Steve, have you ever thought about maybe shifting out of your current church and coming out here to the West Side? I could use the support and partnership and you could be the point. You could be the point guy. And I'm like, wow, Ken, I don't know. I mean, I was leading a similar sized church, you know, an hour drive away. I'd been in that church for, you know, almost 20 years. We're in the middle of completing a building project. There was a lot going on. I said, I don't know. The Holy Spirit will have to move powerfully. And so then right after that, we're in the hallway and the class had just started. I said, I got to run. I ran in to this class, maybe a couple minutes late. And I sat right next to Carrie. And Carrie, I said, Carrie, Ken Chow just said, have we ever thought about coming to the West Side? And, you know, would we open our mind up to that? And she's like, all of a sudden she started weeping. I said, what's going on? And she said, well, the woman had just shared about how we have to be willing to do whatever is needed. And she shared about how she, the woman that was preaching to Carrie on that class, had gone to Paris, France, but didn't really want to go back to Paris, France at the time, even though she had been there before. But she was called because she had been watching this program of the World Cup, the soccer tournament, the worldwide soccer tournament called the World Cup. And she was watching the Uruguayan population and how they're just immersed in, you know, soccer. You know, our brother Leo, he loves the Uruguayan soccer team, right? And during the World Cup, it's a big deal. You think, you know, the football is a big deal or the Super Bowl is a big deal. In Uruguay, let me tell you, soccer is a big deal when your country is in the World Cup and everybody, they showed a TV show, and she was sharing about this, of how all the firemen, or everyone in the whole country are watching their team play, but all of a sudden the fire alarm goes off, and of course, even though it's in the middle of one of the most intense times in the match, all the firemen drop everything, and they head out, and they were told, hey, listen, when people need to be saved, we drop everything. She related that to the idea that, hey, that's why she went to Paris. And then she asked all the people in the room, hey, will you go where God calls you? Will you drop whatever you need to do to go where people need to be saved? And so I just mentioned to Carrie, we're asked about this thing on the West Side. She had just heard that and she started thinking, uh-oh, is God gonna make us move, right? Is God? And then what happened? You would not believe it. While we're at this conference, people, a lot of you know the story, I told it when we first moved here, but a lot of people started pulling me aside. We would talk to people we knew from all over the country and they'd be like, hey, you ever thought about going to the West Side? And maybe they knew a person there, they thought we would be good, they knew I'd graduate from UCLA, they thought, and so we were like, no, why'd you bring that up? And all of a sudden, all these things started happening. Even a week later when we got home from Panama, Carrie and I are having our devotional, we're praying, and all of a sudden I get this text message. And it's a sister, Tiffany Young, who had been a part of West Side for quite a long time. And I hadn't talked to Tiffany in years, although she'd been a friend and we trained a long time ago in campus. She texted and said, I had a dream last night and you showed up on the West Side. What is going on? I hadn't told anyone anything. Just that Ken had this talk. Carrie and I began to pray. The Holy Spirit begins to reveal things when he wants to reveal things, right? Lo and behold, we applied for the job and we ended up getting hired and coming out here and being a part now for the last 6 years in the West Side. Amen. God works. His presence works. He reveals things. His presence brings us joy. Being in his presence is the ultimate blessing of life. All right, what else does it say? The Spirit marks us with his power. With his power. Now, again, like I mentioned, the Holy Spirit doesn't come on every person in the Old Testament. Unlike today, we're going to hit a little bit of that. In the New Testament, in our day, in the New Covenant, we have access to it, all of us, right? But in the Old Testament, it's not quite as much. But he came on a handful of people always to give power to do some kind of great work. So you can read about different people. I want to hit these ones for now. Bezalel. He is commissioned by Moses because the scriptures teach that he is filled. I'm going to read from Exodus 31. I sort of summarized it there. But it says, the Lord said to Moses, see, I've chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills to make artistic designs, to work in gold, silver and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. Moreover, I have appointed Oliab, son of Ahismach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I have commanded you. So he had told him to build this tabernacle, which was like was going to be a precursor to the physical temple that he would establish in the city of Jerusalem at some point. But the tabernacle was quite an impressive, you know, edifice, although it was movable. Like, the Levites were commissioned with the entire job of setting up this humongous worship tent and all the different artifacts that had to do with worship. All of them are little precursors to our spiritual life now, which we don't have time to get into. But I find it fascinating that Bezalel, he was filled, he was empowered with what? With artistic gifts. And he intended to use them. And you know, when you use your artistic gifts, God continues to expand them, right? We haven't seen Reese up here for a while. I know he's on a little hiatus, but I remember Reese, he's one of our lead singers up here. Reese was, you know, in the campus ministry. He was one of our singers. I remember him doing some stuff at the campus. I was like, hey, thanks for singing, Reese. You're all right, you know? And he could sing okay. And I'm no expert, trust me, I don't hear. But I could tell a little bit. But let me tell you, Reese poured his life out for worship. He's been singing now for 5 years. I've seen him, he can solo without instruments now and hit right on key. I mean, he's amazing. His vocals have just improved. He's an incredible singer now. Why? Because God filled him with it and then expands that power. I'm so grateful for the work he does. I know he's not here. I think he's traveling. But Reese, we love you. I know you'll be back helping us lead songs. And thank you for letting God empower you. You know, another thing God does when you're with his Spirit, when you're with them, he really changes you. We have another brother in here. I remember when I first met this brother. He wasn't a brother then. He had been, but he had left God for many, many years. Almost, I think, something like 25 or 30 years, he had drifted from God. But he came back to the West Side. And I remember meeting him, and he had this scowl on his face. And he's like, you guys know him. I already told him I'm going to say this, so it's okay. It's Grant Summers, right? So when I first met Grant, he was like, I don't like people. he said that. He told me, I don't like people. I said, oh, okay, Grant, nice to see you. And he was just angry. He's like, yeah, they bother me. People bother me. And he had this feeling, this anger. I could just tell he was struggling, but he kept showing up for church. And he began to study the Bible, and he began to get in the Word, and he restored his relationship with God. And now, if you meet Grant, he's one of our ushers. He's loving, he's friendly, he's engaging. He goes to every event he can possibly go to. He wants to be with God so his power can change him. He goes to his own small group, which now he leads his own small group, him and Candace. Of course, Candace has been changed too. Now he gets restored after being, now he's leading his own small group. But he also goes to another, with some of the older brothers and sisters, goes to their group just because he wants to be around people. He serves, he goes to the OG group on Friday morning. He's got a lot, he loves to be in the presence of God and God's people, and it's transformed him. The power of God to transform. Amen. I love that about you, Grant. Thank you so much. You know, it does say the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you will be changed into a different person. Said that to Saul, and that happened, and we're seeing that. And then Samson as well. This is pretty interesting. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands. That's some power. Right? That's crazy, right? You read the story. It was the Spirit that gave power. And when he is with you, he gives you power. Sometimes When you're in his presence and you're walking with him, he allows great difficulty in your life so that you would have the power to love other people. You know, many years ago, Carrie and I were praying for wisdom on whether we should leave that church again that we ended up leaving in 2018. It was about 2011, we began to be asked to consider maybe leading some churches in other parts of the country. And we had been where we were at that time for about 12 years. And we're like, okay, maybe. So we said, we've been asked to consider this. So we said, listen, a couple of churches have asked us to consider it. This is way back in 2011. Let's pray and fast for 3 days. So we did that. We went and prayed and fasted separate from each other. And we just kept asking God, reveal clearly what we need to do. What happened is we came after those 3 days of prayer and fasting and we had a discussion. And I said, I feel really strongly God has moved in my heart that we should not move. We should stay right here. At the time, we were living in Rancho Cucamonga. And I said, I feel like we need to stay in Rancho Cucamonga. Living with Lynn, she's been living with us for a long time, who's awesome. Carrie's mom's been part of, she's a disciple. And we're like, we're gonna stay right here. There's lots more work to do, we felt. And Carrie goes, I feel exactly the same way. Little do we know that within about 2 weeks, we got noticed that Carrie's sister was not going to be able to take care of her son. She was going through some drug addiction issues, and she had a son, a two-year-old son, who we ended up getting out of an unhealthy place and bringing him into our home, and then subsequently filing for guardianship and taking guardianship of Nathan, who I raised. He's my nephew. I raised him as my son for 12 years. You know, we found out from California law, if you're a guardian, you can't go out of state for more than 30 days. So if we had have accepted one of those positions, we couldn't have been there to take care of Nathan and raise him for 12 years. God does things when you appeal to change you and help you. Now, with Nathan, the story, it moves on. What happened, you guys know Nathan. He was here a couple weeks ago. He enjoyed the teen class, and we raised Nathan. But last summer, we went through some challenges. He got into high school, or he was finishing eighth grade, and he was going through some challenging times, but what was amazing is that his mom, our sister, she got completely clean, completely sober, and was doing well, had a very good job, and Nathan asked Carrie and I, hey, can I go live with my mom? And this is in his eighth grade year, he asked that, and we were like, you know, obviously we love, you know, our sister, we want her to do well, and he's our son, our nephew, and we're like, yeah, if that's what you want. And so last summer, we ended up going to court, and all the whole family was there, and we sat before the judge, and we shared why we were doing what we're doing, because, you know, we knew if he's going to live with her, we had to remove guardianship, so we wouldn't be his legal guardian, because we wouldn't be able to be there. He's going to be with mom, so it would just revert back to his biological mom. And at court, you know, it was quite emotional. The judge, you know, he just asked all of us. We all shared what we talked about. We all felt good about it. He said, this is great. We're so happy for your family. And Lynn, Carrie, and I, we were kind of weeping because we realized sort of an era of our life is ending. Nathan is our in-house with us. He's going to be moving back with mom. But then, okay, looking over right next to him, you know, Tara and Nathan, they were really happy because they, you know, a child wants to be with his mom, wants to be with his dad. And so they were joyful and we were weeping, but we like, you know what? This is sort of how you grow. You have to face these complex, difficult emotional challenges in life. And you go through them and you learn from it. And what did I learn being a father to Nathan after my kids were older and taking care of them? So many things about compassion, so many things about selflessness. I'm still learning. I'm learning the lessons. God allows hardship and emotional pain and difficulty so we can love the way Jesus loves. The Spirit doesn't just call the gifted. He gifts the called. If he's calling you to some work, he's gonna give you the power to do that work. But you gotta put your hand to the plow. And God's working in your minds and hearts right now. I want you to listen to that Spirit. Allow it to move you. Yes, he's calling you to action because the Holy Spirit also marks us for his purpose. He marks us for his purpose. It's not just that he gets to be with us and we enjoy this comfort and encouragement and understand truth and read. Yes, all those things are true and great insights. But the Holy Spirit is on mission in this world, ahead of us. He had a plan to create the world. He has worked on people's lives in the Old Testament to reveal his ways. And we read this in Numbers chapter 11 regarding the Holy Spirit and Moses. Moses was feeling the burden of leading 2 million people and the stress of what was involved and the criticalness and the challenges. And you read there, it says, the Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders. I will take some of the power of the Spirit that is on you and put it on them. They will share the burden of the people. See, God's presence is for mission, is for purpose, is to do something great in your life, right? His Spirit comes upon you because he's got things to do. He is ahead of us, guys. He is working right now, and our job is to pay attention to what he is doing. He says, as we read in Joel chapter 2, we get the prediction of how the Holy Spirit will be poured out on the day of Pentecost. And he says, and afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. He says, and you can read that again. Of course, the Apostle Peter, when the church started, he preached this. He quoted that scripture in Acts chapter 2 as the church began, saying that the Holy Spirit is now for all of us. We are all a part of the mission and plan and purpose of God. In the Old Testament, it's predicting it. It's talking about it. It's saying it's going to happen. And Jesus understood that, right? We read as we get ready for we're in our year of Jubilee, preparing for the big Jubilee conference. And we live now in the year of the Lord's favor. We live now in the time when the Holy Spirit is available to all of us. The Holy Spirit spoke to Jesus through the book of Isaiah and said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Same message comes to us now. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Same message comes to us now. To proclaim liberty for the captives of sin. Same message comes to us now. And the opening of the prison to those who are bound by depression, regret, fear, enslaved by unhealthy thoughts. And the message came to Jesus, and he's passed that message on to us. The presence of God, the power of God, is so that we can fulfill the purpose of God. And I love this message. I read a book a number of years ago written by Mark Love, a professor who's taught quite a few ministers different things, and I learned so much from Mark Love, a great professor, had led this outreach called the MRE, the Missional Ministry, Masters in Religious Education for other ministers, and he trained like 50 of our ministers. But I want to read to you what he said about the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. He says, the Spirit is given for the mission of God. While it is undoubtedly true that the presence of the Holy Spirit can provide comfort and encouragement for the individual, this is not the primary purpose for the pouring out of the Spirit on all flesh. And yet I think that the personal sense is the primary way most congregational members think of the Spirit, if they think of the Spirit at all. To shift the posture of expectation from the personal to the missional with regard to the Holy Spirit would be dramatic. Such a shift situates the Holy Spirit in the world out ahead of the strategic concerns of God's people. He's already doing stuff. We just need to pay attention, is what he's saying. This in turn would make Christians more attentive to the situation in which they find themselves, anticipating that the Spirit may be creating the space for participation in God's hospitality. The Holy Spirit is on mission. He is ahead of us. We have to join him in the work. That's the idea of being marked by the Spirit, is that you're paying attention to the Spirit. As a congregation, Westside, we have to pay attention and join him in the work he's doing. I know he's doing all kinds of work on our colleges, in our singles ministry, in our marrieds ministry, with our recovery ministries, all kinds of ways. And I know we're going to be having a survey more for things we feel like we want to learn from the Holy Spirit. But I want us to learn to pay attention. I want us to remember these 3 points. And then I have an action, a call to action for us. To live by the Spirit is to live marked by his presence, by his presence, power, and purpose. And then, of course, it leads us into the message of the cross. And the message of the cross was that the Holy Spirit would be made available to all of us. And you even get an Old Testament prediction of that in Ezekiel chapter 36, where he says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. That is what Jesus provides for each of us. And so I have a challenge for us this week. As we begin our study for the next couple months on the Holy Spirit, here's my challenge. I want you to create space for the Spirit. And how? I know most of us are reading our Bibles and praying a little bit every day. We call that our quiet time. I want to challenge us to double our quiet time this week. So I know I was talking to James Russell, one of our awesome ushers. He has 2-hour quiet times every week. So I was like, James, you're going to probably have to go, you know, you might have to do yours in the morning and the evening to get those 4 hours in. He's like, I'm going to do it. You know, he's retired. He has some extra time. He's always serving. But I want to challenge some of you, maybe you don't have a quiet time. So for you, begin to read your Bible. You can reference these stories, look them up, look more at the Old Testament, look at the background of each of these characters that the Holy Spirit came down upon. But do some extra study this week so the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal himself more to you. Amen? And before we take communion, I want us to do one little exercise, all right? Here's what I want us to do. I want you to find at least if you can do 3 people, ideally if you can do 3 people, so one person to your side and one behind you, and I want you simply to ask them right now, what can I pray for you? What can I pray for you about? All right, just ask the people, a group of 3, 2 or 3. I'd like it to be 3 if possible, so it's not just husband and wife. But if you need that intimacy, that's fine. But ask them, what can I pray for you about? And I want right now, I want to take 3 minutes, and I want each of you pray for 1 minute and have a little prayer, and then we're going to take communion where we can meditate individually. Amen? Meet the people next to you, behind you, and let's have a 3-minute prayer for each other. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can continue to pray for whoever you met. But right now, I would like to have a prayer for a remembrance of Jesus, who gives us the new spirit and the new heart by going to the cross for us. He gave his body, he shed his blood, and the spirit has been unleashed on all of earth now. We'll be studying a whole lot more about how all that works in the coming weeks as well. So let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this time to gather and learn about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, just a little bit to see some of the ways that you came upon people. But we are so grateful at this time that you gave your Son, that his body was given over, that he died for our sin, that his blood was shed so that we could have a new heart through your mercies and through your forgiveness, and that we could be given this gift of a new spirit. Thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.